Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, yes, you know what that sound means. Everybody loves Raymond. It's time for Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette, the only man in town who defended Jim Rooney this week, Donnie. And welcome to a Donnie Football Friday. We're going to ask Ray about that coming up. But first, you can read Ray's stuff at postgazette.com. He's got a mock draft out today. We're absolutely talking about that. First, I cede the floor to one Donnie Football who has some breaking news from Jeff Howe of The Athletic.
Yeah, Ray, I want to get your reaction on this. Joe gave the introduction there. Here is the tweet from Jeff Howe a little bit ago. It was about 10 minutes ago. With Pete Carroll taking over the Raiders, one name I've heard to watch for at QB, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah, let's go, Raiders!
Go,
Raiders!
They have mended fences, per source, and Wilson could be the stopgap while the Raiders develop a long-term answer. What's the reaction there, Ray?
Yeah, Donnie, I did read something recently, and I'm sorry, I can't give credit to who wrote it or where I saw it, but I saw something where, like, Russ and maybe his representatives kind of forced Brian Schottenheimer out. And, you know, Pete was the one who, you know, ultimately pulled the trigger on that move. But, yeah, you know, I mean, Russ eventually did leave Seattle. It's good that they mended some fences because obviously they were a great combination about 10 years ago. And the one thing about that report is, you know, Jeff is absolutely right. They need a franchise quarterback, but they also need a bridge quarterback. You can't have the likes of Aiden O'Connell and, you know, Gardner Minshew playing that role again for the Raiders. So in that scenario, you know, it makes sense. We'll see what happens with the Steelers and Russ. Obviously, the Steelers have the inside track if they want to keep them because they can get that done before free agency starts.
So what happens with the Steelers, Ray? I mean, Russell Wilson, I don't know what's true or not with Russell anymore. For all he's such this term toxic positivity so applies to him. He's it's one platitude after another. They could call him into an office, Mike Tomlin, Art, and Omar, and they could say, Russell, we thought you were horrible this year, and we're absolutely not bringing you back. And Russell would leave that room saying, man, I think talks are underway here. This is great. This is adversity. I'm going to learn from this and still be the Steelers quarterback. I just think he's not dealing in reality anymore, Ray. But certainly, have talks started, like he said, on a new contract?
Well, I'm sure his agent and the Steelers on some level, you know, probably touched base and said, hey, listen, we'll talk down the road. Maybe there were some general parameters given by the agent of what it might take. But the Steelers never, ever deal with this type of stuff in January, even when they have high-profile guys. You know, their first orders of business in the offseason is, you know, get ready for the draft, get ready for the new league year. And then when free agency comes, it comes. And they'll deal with that, you know, late February, early March, you know, when that time gets here. But, you know, in the meantime, they'll be at the Senior Bowl next week, guys. I don't think they are focused at all on Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. I think they're obviously talking about that inside the building, and eventually they'll come, you know, to an agreement on who the guy's going to be, but I don't think we're there quite yet.
Ray, you put out your first mock draft of the season.
Yes, he did.
Earlier today, and Joe has not gone through it yet. I don't know if he's doing that as we speak, but I did tell him quite an interesting name that you have being selected by the Steelers in round number 3.
Yeah, I just figure if you're going to go for a mobile quarterback and that guy's not a first rounder, let's face it, Jalen Milroe is not going to go in anyone's first round, even if he has a great combine, which a lot of people think that he will. There's just too much stuff on tape with his inconsistencies as a passer. And I think what teams are really going to have to get past here, and maybe there's an explanation for it, but under Nick Saban, he actually had good stats the 1 year as a passer. Was never a great throw over the football, but he had some good stats. And then under the new coach this year, the guy that, you know, came over from Washington, he had, you know, fewer touchdowns, he had more picks, and it just wasn't you know, a great season for him. But if you're looking for a developmental quarterback in the middle rounds, and I don't think I would do this in the first or second round, but if you get a guy in the third round, listen, not every third round pick works out. If you take a flyer on a guy in the third round, you develop him, and then maybe he becomes a better passer with better coaching. I think that's the right round to do it. So you're going to hear a lot about Milroe in the coming weeks and months. He's a tremendous athlete. He can run that read option. He can do things the Steelers want to do, but the bottom line is he has to prove to people that he could become an NFL-caliber passer, and he's just not there quite yet.
So your first-round pick for the Steelers, Ray, is Shamar Stewart. Yep. A 6'6", too tall Stewie, they'll call him. I mean, this guy's 6'6", 291. I'm all for defensive linemen in this draft, like multiple. Yeah. Like if they use their top two picks on D linemen, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Tell me about this guy.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams did that last year. They got Jared Verse and they got Fiske from Florida State. And I watched the Rams on a couple occasions this year. That defense turned around real quick after the loss of Aaron Donald. I think the Steelers are in a similar circumstance. Listen, Stewart is going to be a polarizing figure in this draft. He didn't have production at Texas A&M, but when I watched him, and you know, I hate to put this on guys, but athletically, and I'll say this, athletically, he reminds me of like Jadeveon Clowney when Clowney came out. Now, Clowney never became a great pro, but you know, freakish athleticism there. There's a lot of stuff on tape there where, you know, he easily gets into the backfield. He just doesn't finish sacks, doesn't finish plays. So, you know, there's some work to do there. But if you're looking for probably the best athlete among all the D linemen in this draft, I think Stewart is probably it. But again, just like with Milroe, there's a projection there, and the Steelers would have to get comfortable, you know, with picking a guy like that where they're picking at number 21.
Ray, are you worried at all about his size, that he could be classified as a tweener type? And we've seen, you know, DeMarvin Leal is a case in point.
Yeah.
Hell, I forgot the guy was even on the team in the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, but I think him being 6'6", Donnie, I think he can easily get above 300. You know, Cam Hayward was never a guy who was, you know, playing at 320 or anything like that. Cam's just this guy who's really strong, and I think Stewart could be that guy too. You will see plenty of other defensive tackles mocked to the Steelers. You know, a lot of people, like guys like Mason Graham from Michigan, he'll be long gone, but there's a lot of talk about his teammate, Kenneth Grant. You know, I've seen him mocked to the Steelers. You know, for me, he plays over the nose a lot, plays over the center a lot, so he's not quite as explosive as Stewart. Still a really good player, but, you know, to me, if you're picking a 21, you know, a guy like Grant would maybe be more late first, early second. He's not quite, doesn't quite have the potential that Stewart has. But, yeah, like I said, Stewart's a projection. You would see him play up on the edge, two-point stance, and then you would also see him play down, three-point stance. I think he's a three technique in the NFL. Just put 10 or 15 pounds on him, and I think you could have your successor to Cam Hayward.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette is on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Ray, I absolutely love your fourth round pick, Devin Neal out of Kansas. Not because I've studied tape on Devin Neal, but the idea of a running back who can bring, as you said, the big play potential to the offense at that position. And we're not talking another Dree Archer type or Anthony McFarlane. We're talking about a guy who's 210 pounds who can also bust out. I look at Tampa Bay in the fourth round. They got Bucky Irving, a guy who ran for 1,100 yards, averaged over 5 yards a carry, and was a breakaway runner too. I mean, you can get these guys anywhere. I like this, Ray.
Yeah, he had over 300 yards in a game against Colorado. I watched that game earlier in the fall. He couldn't be stopped, by the Buffaloes. I know the Buffaloes didn't have a great defense, but he produced. He put numbers up, and I think when you watch him at the combine and his pro day, I think he's probably going to test pretty well too. So, he's one of those guys. Depending on how, the running back market, these guys are starting to be valued a little bit more. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get a guy like that in the fourth round. Maybe they have to pull the trigger on a guy in the third round this year to get, that caliber of back. The good thing is this is a really good draft for running backs. So, if you want to get one in the middle rounds, whether it's him or someone else, I think you'll be able to do that in this draft.
Ray, did you find yourself watching some of the big college football games this season, or really the college football playoff or the national championship game, and you just see talent all over the place, knowing that not all of these guys will be first-round picks, but I think a running back that Steeler fans are already attracted to, both of those guys at Ohio State that will be draftable players. Like, do you watch those guys and think, man, they would probably fit in here pretty well?
Yeah, Jadeveon Henderson, right, is probably the top back for the Buckeyes. And I think he's in that mid-round range as well. He might go a little bit higher. But, I like what I saw from him. What I do, Donnie, is I kind of just pick out, two full games that I can find on the internet somewhere against good competition. And that's really what I try to do. I mean, when I watch a game on TV, it's hard for me to focus in on, what the Steelers' needs are. I kind of just want to sit there and enjoy the game. So, the nice thing about this mock draft that I did is we're mostly SEC, Big 12 guys. There's not a lot of, guys from outside the major conferences. So it was pretty easy to go out there and find some games on YouTube where you can sit down and watch these guys against good competition.
Ray, here's what I think, and I wonder if you agree with this. Obviously, the Steelers could probably use improvements in many, many areas where you would look to upgrade. Having said that, when I actually look at their roster, and if I determine that, listen, I'm going with Justin Fields. If I determine that, if I'm the Steelers, their linebackers are set. Their secondary, Minka, Elliott, Porter, I think you bring in a nice veteran free agent at corner.
Yeah.
Your O-line, for better and worse, should be set. It should be. It better be. Your tight end, for better and worse, you're good. Your quarterback, you're going to go with Fields. That only leaves three areas to really attack in the draft. D-line, wide receiver, and running back, which can be found anywhere. So to my way of thinking, tell me if I'm crazy. The D-line and wide receiver positions, those are the two main areas to go for early in this draft. And I think I'm going crazy at D-line. I am. I might pick three guys in a row.
I agree with you, Joe. I think those are by far this team's two biggest needs. I would put cornerback maybe like after defensive line and receiver. And, cornerback or running back, I'd probably say running back, but I think corner would be close there. So for me, you know, when I look at this draft, it's really interesting. This happened last year, too, with all those really good offensive tackles that were available. It really set up well for the Steelers. And I don't know if it's just coincidence or not, but a deep D-tackle class this year, a good receiver class, maybe not like with high-end talent, but a good receiver class where you can get guys in the second or third round. I think it sets up really well for the Steelers. And, you know, I know a lot of people – I don't know if people are down on this year's rookie class, but I think it's going to be good. Flautani was injured. You can't control that. I think he's going to be a stud. Frazier was really good. Peyton Wilson was really good. To me, the only guy the jury is out on is Roman Wilson. So I think there's still belief in this front office that they're going to go out and get good players. And I think this draft is uniquely set up to fill their needs, as you said.
Ray, you have it happening in the second round, but 3 months out, what do you think the chances are they would go receiver in the first round? Would be their first-round receiver since Santonio Holmes.
So everyone's mocking the kid from Ohio State, right?
Egbuka, yeah.
Egbuka. I think he's a good player, but, like, to me, like, you read some stuff about him, and I watched him in a couple of games this year. It seems to me, and you guys can disagree with me, he, like, projects as like a good number two in the NFL. And to me, if you're drafting a receiver in the first round, you want to get that guy who's like Santonio Holmes. You want to get that elite talent who could uplift your offense. And I don't know if he's that. Like I said, this draft is deep for receivers, but I don't know if there's that guy that's going to come in and light it up in the NFL. So I was a little bit lukewarm on him. That's why I went with Ayo Manure in the second round. It could happen, but I think typically the Steelers get those guys in the second or third round, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened again.
Ray, you had the outlier take on Jim Rooney, Art's brother, this week under the headline, what Jim Rooney said on the Steelers might have been tone deaf, but he had a point. Yeah. So here's my question. His point very clearly, I think, is one of his points, is what everybody knows. Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady have dominated the NFL for the last, 23 years. But what does that mean as far as the Steelers go? Because I would say that while that's an obvious point that he brought up, yes, those two guys have been very hard to beat. Does that excuse the Steelers, especially over these last nearly a decade, from not even competing in playoff games? Like, what do you agree with that he said?
Well, I didn't talk to Jim, but the way I read into his comments, it was more about the Ravens and having to go through a really tough division where it's really hard to get good seating in the playoffs. And you're constantly, fighting that uphill battle as maybe a lower seed who has to play extra games, who might not have home field advantage. If you look at the Ravens this year, guys, and even the Steelers to a certain extent, that first game that the Ravens lost to the Steelers at Acrisure really cost them, a game there, a game against the Browns, a game against the Raiders. Instead of them being like a one or a two seed because they play in the AFC North, they're having to go on the road to play Buffalo instead of playing Buffalo at home. So I know the Ravens had home field last year, but just over the course of time, when was the last time the Steelers had the one seed? Was it 2004?
Yes.
I know they were the two seed in 2008. It's just really hard when you have to battle through a really tough division. So maybe I was misinterpreting Jim's comments, but to me, when he brought up the Ravens, and I researched this, I backed it up with, what the Patriots had to go through. The Patriots division was terrible when they went to 8 straight conference championship games. So I tried to just take a little bit deeper look into what Jim probably meant by that. And, that's what I came up with, just how difficult it is to get through the North every year and how hard it is to get that seeding.
See, I think the thing that bugs me about that, Ray, is I have my doubts that the Ravens look at it the same way. I feel like the Ravens are truly set on, we're going to win a championship, not, oh man, we have the Steelers in the North still. They got to do something about this. Like, I feel like they aren't worried about the Steelers seemingly the way that the Steelers must be worried about them.
It's gone back and forth over the years. The Ravens have had their number in the playoffs the last two times. But the, you know, the Steelers had them back in, I think, was it 01 and then 08 and then 11. The Steelers had their number. So, you know, it goes back and forth over the years, and it's no surprise, you know. You just look at it, Donnie. Big Ben was better than Joe Flacco or Kyle Buller, whoever they had in 01. And right now, Lamar Jackson is better than whoever the Steelers trot out there. So as long as you're the Ravens, you have Lamar. You're the Bengals, you got Joe Burrow. To me, you got to feel good about yourself every offseason that you could put together a winning team that will have a shot once you get into the tournament. I know the Bengals maybe mismanaged some things. They, you know, Mike Brown was kind of known as a cheaper guy. But, you know, if they want to get back to being serious and building a team around Joe Burrow, they're going to be that team for another decade. And, you know, Lamar's probably got another 7-8 good years in him too until, you know, he's no longer viable. So it's going to be really hard for the Steelers to compete unless they go out and get that guy of their own.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
You may.
We've been derelict of duty here. Perhaps the biggest question of all, Ray, and if you could answer it briefly, that would be wonderful. Are we going to see a coaching change of any kind here? Any coaches gone? They just going to run it back? What's happening?
No, they're not going to run it back. I think that'll probably trickle out next week or the week after. I think some changes will happen.
Who first?
I don't know. I don't have a good handle on it. I think... I know the guys who are under contract, so I would say maybe one of the linebackers, coaches, D-line, tight ends, one of those guys.
That's the changes we're talking about? that's what Mike Tomlin goes in front of the media and says, oh, there's going to be changes around here, all right, the linebackers coach.
Here's what you forgot. He doesn't have to talk to the media again until the owners' meetings in May, in March. So he doesn't have to face the music.
Donnie, I don't know about you, but if they change running backs coaches, plan the damn parade. You agree?
I already have my my lawn chair out.
Right, exactly. I have mine out for the draft in a couple years. All right, Ray, very quickly, your two winners this weekend are?
Can't go against Kansas City, and I'm going to pick the Eagles, even though I'm not exactly sure how that Hurts situation is going to play out, but... Yeah, I'll go Eagles and Chiefs.
If the Eagles have to go with Kenny Pickett, do they still win the game?
Depends on when that happens. If it's early, I think the Commanders will probably win. But, you know, if they have a lead and maybe it's late second quarter or in the second half, I think maybe Kenny can steer that home.
We have to matriculate the ball a little quicker, Ray. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Chiefs.
Interest level 1 to 5 in the following players for the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers, 5 being very interested, 1 not at all. Aaron Rodgers.
1.
Kirk Cousins.
1.
Kyler Murray.
2.
Joe Milton.
1.
Matthew Stafford.
1.
Sam Darnold.
2.
If it were up to you, would you take Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders if you were an NFL team?
Probably Sanders.
Justin Fields will be the 3rd or 4th best quarterback in the division next year.
Well, it depends who the Browns are playing, but I'll go 3rd best.
You would be more inclined to trade Watt, Minka, or Highsmith?
Minka, but it's a hard contract to trade.
George Pickens will be traded, yes or no?
Guessing yes.
Who will have the better career, Broderick Jones or Joey Porter Jr.?
That's a good one, Joe.
Thank you.
Broderick has more upside. I'll go Joey.
Ray, you're a hell of a man. And I know Limits agrees. Thank you for coming on. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Ray. Joe has no further questions at this time.
Thanks, Ray. I also agree, by the way.
Thank you, Ray. On what?
That he's a hell of a man.
Yeah, he is.
He just said Limits agrees.
Well, we already knew you agreed with that.